Welcome into episode 128 of the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee, as always, presented by FullPressCoverage.com. You can find us on the Full Press Coverage app, as well as Megaphone FM, Spotify, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Catch me all over social media, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, LinkedIn, wherever you are, I'm probably there. All right, this week, want to get into a couple of things. I want to talk about the Bronny James dilemma. This is what I'm calling it. His freshman season at USC has come to a close with a horrible loss in the conference tournament. And there's so much talk about him going to the NBA or staying. I want to get into that. And then also, I want to talk about some of the most feared players of all time in the NBA. The players that kept coaches and other players up at night the night before, where you just know they're going to give it to you on the court the next day. I'm going to talk about those players a little bit. That was a topic of discussion earlier in the week. So first, let's get into Bronny James. All right, Bronny James's season came to an end just a couple days ago with USC losing to Arizona 70-49 in the Pac-12 tournament, the final Pac-12 tournament, that is, before I believe they go to the Big Ten, that is USC. He scored 3 points in that game, did Bronny James. Take a look at his final five games of his freshman year at USC. 3 against Arizona, 7 points against Washington, which was the high. 5 against Arizona when they beat Arizona in the previous week. And then the 2 games before that, Arizona State and then at Washington, Bronny put up goose eggs in the point department. It was not a great freshman year for Bronny James at USC. Now, he did have the heart condition, which he suffered, I guess, late last year, just before the season started, cost him, I believe he missed 8 games of USC season. And he just hasn't seemed right since then. So honestly, you know, if he's not the son of LeBron James, no one is talking about him going to the NBA. Even if he's the son of another, even fairly prominent current NBA player or former, most of them are retired, that might have a son of the age to actually go to the NBA at this point. But even if he was someone else's son, they would not be talking about, no one would be talking about him going to the NBA after a year like the year he had. Okay, he wasn't even a top 3 player on his team, let alone a lottery pick or even first round pick in the NBA. Now, because of his father's influence, he could end up being a first round pick. I don't really see it happening, but it wouldn't shock me if somehow some team was able to be talked into taking Bronny in the top 10, because this year it's not a strong draft, even up top at the top of the draft. It's not considered the strongest draft, even at the top. So Bronny, I don't think he'll stick into the top 10. He probably won't even be a lottery pick, in my opinion. I mean, if you're looking at what he did this season at USC, let's just take a look. I mean, he didn't even average 5 points a game. He played, 25 games, started 6, averaged 4.8 points. He averaged 2 assists, 2 rebounds. It was not a good, let's just be honest, this was not a good season. This was not a good showing for the young James here. It just wasn't. The only reason he's getting any run, any notice, any notoriety as a potential pick in the NBA draft is because of who his father is. Let's just be honest. I don't think that's blasphemous to say that. I really don't. He's benefiting from the privilege of being the son, the oldest son of LeBron James. A LeBron James who everyone knows, and he's made it clear that he wants to play with Bronny. Now, the other son, he's a couple years behind, so LeBron probably won't be able to stick around long enough for his other son. Because personally, I think the other son is probably going to be better in the long run than Bronny. I'm blanking on his name right now, but I think he's going to be better than Bronny. But in the terms of Bronny right now, Bronny's not a lottery pick. He's just not. Now, I'm not going to act like I watched every USC game this season. No, but I saw a few of their games. And whenever I saw them when he played, he didn't look like he was NBA ready, which is one of the reasons why I didn't like what LeBron said back in January. He was frustrated after a loss, and he talked about how Bronny could play right now for the Lakers. I can't remember if he exactly said he could start or just play, but either way, I thought that was one of the most disrespectful things that LeBron could say. Because now you're basically telling your teammates that this kid that can't even average 5 points a game in college is more equipped to play on this team than most of you. That's how I looked at it. Maybe it was used as a motivating tactic by LeBron for his guys, but I don't think that's something that LeBron or any other NBA player should be saying to their teammates. Not to their teammates. Okay. It's one thing to say it to other NBA players, even that's bad enough. But to say that about your own team, now I know because it's LeBron, he gets away with, you know, this kind of stuff because people like LeBron. I don't have nothing against him. I just don't like these kind of things. I mean, it's beyond hyperbole. Bronny James is not ready for the NBA. He's not. Watch him play. He's not ready for not to come in and make a difference. Like LeBron says, he can't. I get it. It's his son. I understand that. And I'm not mad at him for being proud of his son and pumping his son up. I get it. But what he's also doing is he's putting a target on his back, putting a bullseye on him. We got all over LeVar Ball when he did stuff like this. He took it too far. Obviously, he was not an NBA player either. But when he did this stuff and talked about Lonzo and Melo and even LiAngelo to an extent. Now, LiAngelo was, you know, has not made it to the league. Probably won't. He had a little stint there. G League or whatever it is. I think it was Charlotte. Or it might have been the Pistons, actually. Whoever it was, he didn't get any run, really. Okay, he didn't last long. And he's not going to make it to the NBA. Let's just put that out there. LiAngelo Ball's not making it. But the other two, Lonzo, who can't get back on the court, hopefully he does. He was a top three pick. Melo, top two pick. Top two or three, one of those. But they're in, you know, what LeVar said came to fruition with those two. They made it. They made it to the NBA. And at the time when he was talking about them, one was in college, the other was on his way up, but you can see that they had it. Watching Bronny at USC this year, he don't have it now. A lot of it could have to do, like I mentioned, the heart condition that he had. The episode he had late last year. That could have something to do with it. Whatever it is, he's not ready. He's not ready right now. He's not ready for the NBA grind in no way, shape, or form. He played 25 games this year. Multiply that by more than three in the NBA. Talk about 82-game season. And then if you're on a team that makes the playoffs, Bronny James is not ready. He should go back to college now because of who his father is. And the influence that LeBron and his crew, Rich Paul and the rest, that Clutch Sports, all that, the impact that the influence that they have around the NBA, being around the league for 20 plus years now. Somebody is probably going to take a chance on Bronny. And even if he now. This would probably be a hit to the ego of not just Bronny, but of LeBron as well. Let's say Bronny goes into the draft and doesn't get drafted. How bad does that look? Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of excuses. He didn't play the whole season. He had this. I get it. I'm not downplaying the heart condition. But just watching him, he's not NBA ready. He's not. If we're just going to put things on an equal playing ground, he's not ready. But I could see someone being influenced and talked in to taking a chance on him now. But let's say he goes into the draft and is not drafted. You don't think LeBron's going to talk the Lakers into giving him a spot on the team? You don't think for a second that happens? Even if he's just going to be the 12th man, 13th man on the roster, into the bench. You don't think LeBron will take that? LeBron has pretty much run every team he's been on except for Miami Heat. Pat Riley wouldn't allow it, which I actually liked, because all these other teams have just been so in awe of LeBron James. And he's been able to run amok and do whatever he wants with the lineup or the roster, send away whoever he wants, bring in whoever he wants, as much as they like. They want to deny it. LeBron, the GM, he's been in charge for every team he's been on except for the Heat. And maybe the first, you know, couple years in Cleveland. But once they really got rocking and rolling over there, he ran the show. Tried to go to Miami and run the show. Pat Riley wouldn't have it. So then he had to go back to Cleveland and now L.A. So there's no way you're going to convince me that if Bronny, let's say Bronny, you know, they're in the second round, the Lakers might take him. But if Bronny is not drafted, and I don't think that would happen either, because if he's there and the Lakers can figure out a way to get him at some point in the draft, LeBron is going to, Pops is going to talk him into it. Trust me. It's going to happen. He's not going to let his son go and, I guess, be embarrassed like that. It's not going to happen, in my opinion. So I don't think there's any way that if Bronny goes into the draft that he doesn't wind up on a team or his father's team. He's going to be somewhere. Personally, I think he should go back to college. Go back. I mean, because he had the heart episode, right? Then, you know, he takes some time off. Then he comes back. I'm assuming, like, just like any other injury, that something like that, especially with your heart, that's serious. That's really serious. It's not a broken bone. Not that that's not serious, but your heart, you can't potentially die. Well, I guess you could, but more often than not, you break your leg, they're going to fix you up, put you in a cast, whatever you got to do. Your life's not at risk. When it's your heart, that's a life and death situation that he went through, right? Potentially. And who knows? Hopefully it doesn't, but that could come back at some point. But hopefully it does not. But I'm sure something like that is going to take a while to really get back into the groove on the basketball court. So we'll give him this season, but I think he should come back to college. I know it's frowned upon now to go back to college and play a second or third year. I wouldn't worry about that. Go back. Play another year. Show everyone what you have. Right now, personally, I just don't think he's an NBA-ready player. Now, you can make the argument that a lot of guys are not NBA-ready players. Even some of the lottery picks are not ready when they're drafted at 19. They need time. And that's true. That's true. But I think LeBron, I think Bronny could go back, have a better showing. Let's say he goes back and averages 11 points. You know, not totally just, you know, killing the game, but 11 looks much better than 4.8. It just does. And I mean, he averaged almost 20 minutes a game. Go back, maybe play 25, 26 minutes a game, average 11, 12 points, something like that. Get his shooting percentages up. He was horrific from three, 26%, almost 28%. I'm sorry, almost 27%. 48% from the field. I'm sorry, 36% overall from the field. 30 from inside the arc. So I just, Bronny, I think Bronny needs to go back to college, have a better showing, a better season, a full off season with no health issues, anything, get through that. Go back, have a better showing, and then come back and enter the draft next year. Because at this point, I don't think he's a lottery pick. I don't think he should be. Now, they could do some finagling. We know how this is. You know, there's a lot of, LeBron's got a lot of relationships. I'm not saying that he's going to do this, but come on. They're going to try to talk someone into drafting his son. Let's stop with the BS. Let's not be naive now. They're going to try to talk someone into drafting his son, if not the Lakers. And LeBron's got the pull. He might be able to get him to do it. Okay. He just might. But Bronny, go back to college, man. It's not like he's one of these players that, you know, needs to get to the NBA right now because his family needs the money. His family's got a lot of money. That has nothing to do with this. This is about growth and development for him. Go back to college, play another year, show everybody what you can do when you have a full off season to get in, get ready, come in, and handle your business, man. All right, moving on. Let's talk about some of the most feared players that the NBA has seen. Now, when I'm not talking about in a, I guess intimidating is one way, but not in like, okay, I don't want to fight that guy. Not in that kind of way. That kind of way, you know, you're talking about guys like Ben Wallace, Ron Artest, you know, guys that was just, you know, you don't want to mess with them. They're kind of crazy. They out there. No. Talking about the guys that other players feared on the court that you knew when you saw them, they was going to do something to you. I found a list here. Now, this was a topic earlier in the week, and there's been a narrative for years now that players don't fear LeBron. And players have talked about, a lot of guys have talked about this. They really haven't feared LeBron. As great as LeBron was, I think the time that he was probably the most feared was in Miami. Honestly. In Miami, and maybe the last year or two in Cleveland the first time. But in Miami, with the guys he had around him, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, got Mike Miller, Ray Allen. I mean, Mario Chalmers, but nobody feared him. He was there. He was there too. But it's always been said that, you know, LeBron is not, he just doesn't have that killer instinct. And I think to an extent that's true. A lot of players do not fear him, or even as a fan. Like when I was growing up, I was a Pacer fan. Reggie Miller was my guy. So it was then Gary Payton, and I liked the Sonics too. Both played Jordan and the Bulls in big series, whether Eastern Conference Finals or Finals for the Sonics. And it was one of those things where it's like when you know, Sonics were down 3-2 in the series, and I'm like, damn, they got a chance to go to 7. But then it's like, damn, they got Jordan though. And obviously, the Bulls ended it in 6 with the Sonics. And then I think 2 years later in the 98 Eastern Conference Finals, Reggie and the Pacers, they took them 7, took the Bulls to 7. I'm like, man, we got a shot. We might finally vanquish this dude. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, damn, they got Jordan. We knew what Pippen was, Rodman, Steve Kerr, Tony Kukoc, all those guys. You knew what they were. But they got Jordan too. And you know, in the clutch, man, Jordan was going to do something when the games was close. And obviously they went on to beat the Pacers and back to the finals. They beat the Jazz. So, I mean, that's Jordan, right? Now, with LeBron, it's just, I never really felt that way. I guess maybe sometimes, but not as much so with Jordan. Now, I got a list here that I found, from Fadeaway World. 10 most feared NBA players. I'm just going to go through the top 10 real quick. Honorable mention, Steph Curry's on here. But top 10, Iverson, 10. Kevin Garnett on here is 9. LeBron James, 8. Moses Malone is 7, which kind of surprised me. A lot of, you know, these modern day publications don't always give older generations their credit, their due. So I applaud them for that. Bill Russell, 6. Another one. Larry Bird, 5. Larry Bird definitely was a sniper, a killer. You feared him in the 80s. The Celtics, you know, you go back to the 60s, 70s, 80s in general, the Celtics just always had a bunch of Hall of Famers. But in the 80s with Bird, you just knew, especially that mid-80s where he won 3 consecutive MVPs, you just knew it was like, damn, Bird going to do something crucial. So you got Bird in there at 5. Kobe at 4. Kobe was another one. I mean, Kobe really is pretty much a clone of Michael Jordan. Let's just keep it real. Like Jordan, we always hear this. He's the closest thing that we've seen to Jordan, and he really is. He's the closest we've seen. 5 championships. It's amazing to see when you realize that Kobe only won one MVP award. Probably could have won another one or two at some point, but only one MVP, which is kind of strange. But yeah, Kobe is definitely on that list. Now, whether or not you think he should be higher or lower or whatever, but he's definitely one of those guys like, yeah, Kobe is a sniper. He gone, if it's close in the clutch, you know, if you don't have a guy equal or better, which you probably didn't, yeah, probably wasn't going to beat him. But when the Lakers were good, you know, when Shaq was gone. Will Chamberlain, number three. Another one, just so many individual scoring records. Oh, goodness. Shaq two, Jordan one. So I'm looking. So with this list, I got no problem with Jordan at one. Shaq is another one. I mean, you know, I don't hear people ever say Shaq is the GOAT. But when you talk about dominance, the only thing with Shaq is that his window of dominance was kind of short. That 3 years they was winning championships, he was just so, oh my God, three finals MVPs, league MVP. I mean, Shaq was just, he's the epitome of the word dominant, but his window wasn't super long to be dominant like that. As far as, yeah, I'm gonna kill you, but I'm also gonna win and, you know, win championships, win MVPs and awards and all this. That window was, you know, just a few years really, where he was just like, okay, there's no stopping this guy. And even after that, or even before that, when he was younger, there was really no stopping him, but he hadn't really learned to put it all together yet because he hadn't won yet. He just hadn't put it together. But once he put it together with Kobe and, you know, they brought Phil in, had a lot of guys on that team, the Robert Ories, Derek Fishers, Rick Fox early on there. I mean, just so many guys with that Lakers squad. I think him and Kobe were together for, what, 7 years, something like that. So Shaq definitely one of the most dominant. And just think about this list. You got Shaq and Kobe who are on the same team. And if not for their, you know, at the time, especially, you know, towards the end, not that last couple of years of that relationship, not being able to really get along. Maybe they left another title on the table. I mean, they did win three in a row, but maybe they left another one out there. Maybe they did. But I'm looking at this list and LeBron at eight. Now, again, some people don't think LeBron is on this list of the most feared players. I don't have a big issue with it. Eight is probably about right for him because, again, you go back to the Miami days. It was only 4 years, but he was still in his prime. He still played defense. Like, he could lock up on ball and really play some defense. I'm not saying he did it for 48 minutes, but LeBron could really lock in and go after your best player. Especially if they were smaller and supposedly quicker, he'd still make it hard for him. It didn't matter because he's so big and he was rangy. So he would just make it hard. And that little, you know, you get past him and he comes from behind, that trailing block that he just did to so many people, the Iguodala block back in the finals in 2016. Just so many moments for LeBron. I think players may not have feared LeBron like other guys, but I don't think there was something there because he could get you and just beat you almost single-handedly like some of these other guys could. So I don't have a problem with LeBron being there, but by far, I think Jordan's one. I would say Jordan. Like Jordan just put that, there was just something about Michael Jordan that put that fear of God in you if you were a fan of the opposing team. And if you were a fan of the Bulls, it just made you so confident that we're not going to lose. And from, you know, 90, 91 through 98, 90 through 98, basically, they didn't lose unless he was out of the league. Bulls didn't lose. Now, yeah, he came back for part of the 94, 95 season and played 17 games regular season. Then they lost to the Magic in the second round. So, yeah, he lost once. But once he got back, had a full training camp the next year, full season, they went right back to it and won three more in a row. that's Michael Jordan. You're talking to a guy that was not a Michael Jordan fan growing up at all. Have lived in Chicago. I've lived in other places too, but not a Jordan fan. So this is not a bias. It's, you know, Jordan was just that dude, man. Jordan was that guy. Now, I noticed that some other players that a lot of more modern day fans or can, you know, would put on here is one is Kevin Durant. But I don't think Kevin Durant, I'd put him honorable mention, I guess, with Steph Curry, which is funny because they played together for a couple years. But I don't think people really fear Durant like that. I don't think people look at Durant in that facet because a lot of people still hold it against him that he went to the Warriors and had to win with another all-time great player. He could not stay either in OKC or, you know, well, even in Brooklyn, he had Kyrie and James Harden, and they couldn't get it done. Like, he's had other situations where he hasn't been able to get it done. He had to have a current top five player with him to get it done. When, I guess you could say LeBron and D-Wade, early on, D-Wade was still like a top five player. But as time went along, D-Wade was getting older. He was hurt a lot. He was not a top. By the end, D-Wade was not a top five player in the NBA anymore. By the end of that thing in Miami. But, you know, LeBron did go there and have to team up with those guys, so I get it. But I don't think anyone sees Durant on that level. Durant is one of those guys who, he's so fluid in his motion, his shooting. It's just so smooth the way he handles the ball. Can score at all three levels. All three levels. But he's just not on the level of guys like Kobe, Michael, LeBron. I mean, pretty much almost any other player on this list. Now, I know Iverson is on here at 10, but just go back to 2001. And for those that are too young, Iverson took a team to the finals that really outside of him had no business being in the finals, which is why they didn't fare well against the Lakers. But they really had no reason, they had no business being in the NBA finals, that team. The way that team was built, and for Iverson to be such a small player to lead that team to the finals, win MVP, yeah. We haven't seen Kevin Durant do anything like that. Because even in OKC, you had a young Westbrook and Harden, but they were damn good. Now, Harden wasn't the player he would become. So he wasn't a top five player at the time. He would go on to become that a few years later in Houston. But LeBron had a good damn team. I'm sorry, Kevin Durant had a good damn team around him in OKC and couldn't get it done. I think he had 7 or 8 years there, first 7 or 8 years of his career, and just couldn't get it done. So that's why you don't get a Kevin Durant on a list like this. I don't know about the Kevin Garnett thing. Garnett was intimidating, though. I mean, hell, we always hear the story about him making Big Baby cry in Boston when they're on the same team. I just like, dude, what are you crying for? Stop it. But Garnett was definitely an intimidating player because he was so intense and fierce. But I don't think he put fear in those that would, you know, you would call his peers. The guy, the Duncans, the Nowitzkis, even Shaq to an extent. I don't think he really put fear necessarily in those guys. But you knew Big Ticket was going to do his thing. I got to give Garnett that. You knew he was going to do his thing. Like, there was no question about Garnett coming in doing his thing. But I don't know if he was feared to that extent like some of these other players don't. Yeah, I think that's always something, you know, that's a fun topic to talk about. Like, who are the players that, like, keep guys up at night? Like, damn, we got to play Jordan tomorrow. Or, hell, we got Kobe tomorrow. And, damn, we beat him last time, but barely, like, you know. Guys just talking like, damn, we got this guy coming up. Damn. professional athletes are proud, whether men or women. And, you know, it's not easy for them to admit, like, oh, yeah, this person over here or this team, they always think they got a chance. But there's just some players where it's like, damn, we're going to have to blow them out. We got to blow them out. Otherwise, we don't got a shot. All right, that's going to do it this week for the Courtside Crossover with Chris Partee, as always. This was episode 128, by the way, brought to you by FullPressCoverage.com. Again, catch us on Megaphone FM, Spotify, and anywhere else you find podcasts. Go check out the Full Press Coverage app as well. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, at Chris Partee, C-R-I-S-S-P-A-R-T-E-E. I'm going to check you real soon. Peace.